Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. My name is. Oh, that is just not going to work at all. Oh, never accept a dare from Mark Walsh. Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. My name is Leslie Kaminoff, and you may know me as the co-author of the international bestseller, Yoga Anatomy. But I'm also the co-founder of yogaanatomy.net. Now, that's a platform we built 11 years ago where we offer online courses and in-depth anatomy modules that support teachers, teacher trainings, and students all over the world. So that's why we are thrilled to be sponsoring all the incredible sessions here on the Yoga Channel, including my own. And if you feel a connection with the way I teach, I have some great news for you. We are extending scholarships to all members of the Embodiment Conference. And you can find that scholarship info and links to yogaanatomy.net in the description for this presentation and in the show notes. In the meantime, enjoy your body, enjoy your breath, and enjoy your conference. And I'll see you online.
It's my pleasure to introduce our Dove. They are a social justice educator, certified yoga therapist, yoga teacher, trainer, and somatic experiencing practitioner based in Seattle. So I'll let you take it away with your incredible session. I know this is a topic that's so relevant to so many right now. And folks, please feel free to use the chat, feel free to use the Q&A. This is your session and your space as well.
Hi, welcome. Let's take a moment to ground and settle in. So wherever you find yourself, whether you're sitting or lying down or standing or driving, you could be doing this session in a lot of different places. Taking a moment to feel the places where you're in contact with the ground, to feel where you're supported. If you're in a place and it feels supportive to close your eyes, you could do that, or you can leave your eyes open. Noticing the places where you're in contact with the floor or the ground or anywhere in the body that feels grounded, that feels solid, that feels supported. Might be the pelvis on a floor or a chair, might be the back of the body supported by something. The feet on the ground. And noticing as you touch into a sense of being supported, as you feel into where you're in contact with ground, what happens in your body? What happens with your breath? And there's no right or wrong to that, just being curious, turning towards whatever's happening with curiosity. And as we connect in with the particular land that we're on, with the ground that we're in relationship with, in contact with in this moment, taking also a moment to acknowledge the particular land you're on and the people whose land that is. So the people whose ancestors tended the land, who were in deep relationship with it, who may not have given that land willingly, depending on the land that you're on, the particular history of it, and who are still here. So I'm on the land of the Coast Salish people and the Duwamish people in Seattle, Washington. It may be that you know the name of the people or peoples whose land you're on. It may be that you don't, and that's also information. You know the name of the people whose land you're on, saying that to yourself, feeling into a sense of connection through your contact with the ground, with the people who've been in this relationship with this land whose ancestors were in relationship with this land, allowing the land to connect us to everyone who's come before in this particular place, in this particular part of the earth. As you feel into that sense of connection, noticing any sensation that happens in the body, noticing what happens with your breath. And then taking a moment to check in with your body now that you're solidly in relationship with the ground, potentially noticing if there's any part of the body that wants to move or wiggle or stretch, taking a moment to follow those impulses. So I'm not giving you a particular way to move, a particular kind of movement, just noticing maybe if you've been sitting for a long time, you want to stand and take a stretch or a forward fold. Maybe if you've been standing for a long time, you want to sit or lie down on the ground, maybe feel into your back body. Maybe finding a side stretch or a twist. Whatever movement, stretch, shape in the body would help you feel more present, more able to show up for your body, for your practice, for this moment. And then noticing as you finish up that movement, that stretch, that wiggling, what's present now? So over the course of this time together, I'm gonna encourage us to come back over and over again to curiosity towards what's coming up in our body, what's coming up in our system, turning towards our body, turning towards our experience with curiosity and with compassion. So I'm gonna talk a little bit more about that before we move into some more moving pieces. And first, I'm going to talk a little bit about myself, how I came to this work, and some of the ideas that I'm basing the movement pieces of this session on. So I will share my screen. Welcome to Yoga as a Practice of Body Liberation, Resilience, and Social Justice. I'm Ardeb Alvis. I'm a yoga therapist, somatic experiencing practitioner, trauma-informed yoga teacher, social justice educator. And I'll talk a little bit about myself as a way of orienting to how we're gonna move into practice together. And then I'll orient us to the overall arc of the session today so you know where we're going and you're not spending your energy or brain power wondering about that. So as we have mentioned, these are my credentials. I'm a yoga therapist, trauma-informed yoga teacher, somatic experiencing practitioner. I came to yoga in part to do healing around my relationship with my body. When I was younger, I was a pre-professional ballet dancer. And I loved that engagement with movement and engagement with body and that world. In my experience, had a lot of really damaging narratives around what kinds of bodies are acceptable, what kinds of bodies are valuable, what kinds of bodies are worthy. And so I came to yoga in part to do healing, to find a movement practice that had space for me to really tune into my internal experience and have a positive experience of embodiment rather than an experience of movement that was all about what my body looked like from the outside and performing with my body for the external world rather than feeling into my body from the inside. And that's something that I found in yoga and that I'm really grateful to yoga for. And I also come out of queer and fat acceptance, fat liberation, body positive, body liberation activist spaces. And so I brought that lens to yoga and to my somatic experiencing and my somatic practice. And so at the same time that I found a lot of healing and a lot of support in yoga as a practice, I also found ways in which I felt like I or folks in my community were being harmed in the yoga spaces that I was engaging in. And so that's part of how I came to a lot of the work that I do. So I teach trauma-informed yoga trainings from a social justice lens, and I also teach social justice anti-oppression trainings for yoga teachers, yoga studios, yoga organizations. So I'm really committed to the intersection of social justice and anti-oppression work with embodiment work and yoga and somatic movement practice. I'll orient us to what we're going to spend time doing today. The first thing I'll say is that I could talk about all of these topics for an entire month. So this is really just dipping our toes in. And then I'm excited to continue to connect and to continue to have conversations about these topics beyond this session. I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about the connections between body positivity and body liberation work, trauma, trauma healing work, and social justice. I think it's important to root our conversation in that before moving into some movement practices. And then we'll play with some practices. So I'm going to offer a couple of different explorations around grounding and orientation, around breath and rhythmic repetitive movement, and around self-compassion and self-care practices. I'll check in between bits of practice just to see if people have things they want to share about what they're experiencing or if people have any questions. I know that the ways that each of us process is different, and so some folks might want to like ask questions or share their experience, and some folks might want to just be in their experience and process internally, and all of that is totally great and welcome. And then we'll have a little bit of time at the end for questions, any debrief. I think we have some like conference housekeeping at the end, and then we'll close together. So that is our general shape of our time. I'll start by talking about the connections between body positivity, body liberation work, and trauma, trauma healing, and social justice. And then we'll move into those practices. I think in starting with talking about trauma, I really think of trauma as a dysregulation of the nervous system. So a nervous system that either is like running on high all the time, like very anxious, like lots of energy, kind of that hyper arousal state, or a hypo arousal. So really low energy, disconnected, really having a hard time like motivating or like have kind of feeling life force moving through at all. And also as a limiting of our imaginations for ourselves and our own lives or capacities. And this piece of trauma, I think, is really important because it relates really specifically to, I think, the ways that the narratives and messages that we get about bodies in this culture impact us. And I think ultimately I would label them as a trauma. So I wanted to share this framing very briefly. This is something that we could spend an entire session, an entire multiple sessions talking about, but just to frame the conversation and the work that I'm offering in a systemic power analysis. So this wheel has power and privilege in the center, and then has oppression and marginalization on the outside, and each spoke of the wheel represents a different social group membership. So this represents the ways that we are either in closer proximity or further away from power, access to resources, the ability to define reality for ourselves and everyone else, the ability to shape and influence the structures and institutions of the society. And I want to name also that the particular identities or social group memberships that are named on the spokes of this wheel are certainly not the only places that we might experience privilege or marginalization in our bodies, in the culture that we're in the society that we're in. So this is of necessity, like any model, not complete. It can't possibly express the like totality and complexity of the ways that these systems actually impact us and impact our bodies. But I did want to name the systemic power structures that this conversation and this practice is taking place within, particularly because I think this has a huge impact and has a lot of importance to conversations around trauma and resilience and trauma healing. Because I think ultimately the places where we experience oppression or marginalization, where we're further away from power structures in the culture, are places where we're experiencing trauma through oppression. And so body shape and size is one of those. And I think it's important to say that body shape and size is only one of the pieces where we're experiencing either proximity or distance from power and privilege. And all of these things are really wrapped up together, right? We pull them apart into separate categories to be able to talk about them. But my experience of my body shape and size is also impacted by and related to my experience of my sexual orientation, of my age, of my class, race, gender, ability, disability. So all of these things are happening at the same time together in our bodies, right? So let's take a moment just to sit with this framing of systemic power and to notice anything that's coming up in our bodies as we sit with this or as we look at this image, this framing. So I shared that framing because I want to name also that systems of social hierarchy and injustice also dysregulate our nervous systems and limit our imaginations for ourselves, our own lives, and our capacities. And this is one of the reasons that I really see the work of body liberation, of befriending our bodies, of cultivating a positive relationship and positive experience in our bodies, nurturing positivity, regulation, and compassion in our bodies as they are, as an act of resistance against these systems of oppression, these hierarchies of bodies, these systems of power. So developing and cultivating positive relationship with our bodies pushes back against these systems of hierarchy. And it also frees up time and energy and capacity and brain space for showing up to the work that we're called to do in the world, right? To the change work that we might want to do in the world. So if I'm spending a lot of time worrying about the size of my thighs and trying to like manage or regulate the size of my thighs, this is a random example, but I think one that people might be familiar with or might have some experience with, then that's time, that's energy, that's brain space, that's capacity that I then can't put towards making my art or doing my organizing or activism or working on a project or writing a book, right? So in a really concrete way, when we're locked in this cycle of believing and buying into negative narratives around our bodies, that's taking away from the time and the energy and the space that we would have to be able to do really important work in the world and to be able to show up in the world and show up to the work of social justice. So not only is, I think, befriending our bodies and doing body liberation work part of the work of social justice, but also in doing that, I think we free up and we move into a space where we have more capacity for showing up for that work, showing up for those processes and conversations. So I think I mentioned at the beginning when I was talking about how I came to this work, but I want to name again as we start to move into a little bit of movement practice, that part of the work of befriending our bodies and developing, nurturing positive relationships with our bodies is about identifying and noticing and then figuring out practices for shifting our relationship with the stories that dominant culture has told us about what kinds of bodies are acceptable, what kinds of bodies are valid, what kinds of bodies are valuable or worthy. Every culture we're in, no matter where we live or what the particularities are of the society and the narratives, I think that every culture, every society that I have interacted with folks from has narratives, has stories about which kinds of bodies are valuable and which are less valuable. And ultimately, regardless of whether we are closer to the power structure in that, regardless of whether our bodies fit into that paradigm a little bit more or a little bit less, I think we're all ultimately harmed by that. So to me, doing work of positive embodiment and doing work of feeling into our bodies and befriending our bodies and turning towards them with curiosity and compassion is ultimately the work of pushing against those limitations on what we think the possibilities are for our lives, for our bodies, for ourselves. It's ultimately the work of resilience and trauma healing. So in service of that, I wanna offer a couple of different practices, embodiment, movement, exercises, focused on finding resilience or regulation, positivity, maybe even enjoyment in our physical bodies. I do wanna say that the practices that I'm offering are not all strictly taken from yoga, even though this is the yoga track and the session is called Yoga 4. I wanna honor that yoga is some of where I get my movement vocabulary and a lot of where I've done my embodiment practice and my movement practice. And so that is a movement vocabulary and a philosophical framework that I work from and that I bring in. And I definitely don't work from a like strict adherence to yoga as the only movement vocabulary that I'm working from. That said, I want to honor that yoga is a major place that I come from. And I also want to honor that yoga is a practice that comes from India and from North Africa and does not come from the cultures of my ancestors, and that yoga is much more than yoga asana. And I'm not going to be talking a lot about that in this session today, but I do want to acknowledge that and honor that and say that I think it's important as we have conversations about yoga to not collapse our idea of what yoga means to only the postures, only yoga asana or movement. So I'm going to stop this share as we start to move into some movement. As we start to play with some movement, I want y'all to know that what I'm offering is always an invitation. So it's not a command, it's not an expectation. Take care of yourself within the movement, within the exploration. Follow your own body, follow your own curiosity, follow your own instincts in terms of how you're engaging with any of the movement practices that I'm offering. Ultimately, my hope in offering these practices is that we can re-engage and we can nurture our capacity to be in our own bodies and to turn towards our bodies with curiosity and with compassion, and to really notice and take care of what our physical bodies need, what they want in the moment, and thus ultimately to have an experience of greater resilience, of positivity, a sense of being at home in our bodies and in the world. And that can look a lot of different ways. So I'm gonna offer some suggestions of movement, and I really encourage you to like play with them and try them on and maybe do something different if that's ultimately what's gonna serve you better or what your body is feeling curious about in this moment. So let's take a moment to settle back in. I know I've been talking a lot. So checking back in with your own body. And we're gonna play first with practices around grounding and orientation. So it might be that you're seated and that feels like a comfortable spot for you. It might be that you wanna lie down on the ground or that you wanna stand up so we can ground from all of those places. So whatever position you're taking, noticing the parts of your body that are in contact with the floor. You might get curious about whether you could really feel those places of contact as places where the ground is reaching up to support you. I'm getting curious about in those places of contact, in those places where the ground is reaching up to support you, could you find like a 5 or 10% softening into those points of contact, into those places of contact? What would that feel like? Noticing what happens with your breath as you tune in to those points of contact. So you get curious about what it might be like to soften into that contact. And then you might visualize or feel into a sense of dropping a grounding cord into the earth or growing a taproot down into the earth. So if you're standing, that might be through the soles of the feet. If you're seated, that might be from the pelvis or the tailbone. If you're lying down on the ground, that might be from the back body. Just growing a connection into the earth, whatever that looks like or feels like for you in this particular moment. That taproot or grounding cord might be a particular color. You might notice the width of it. You might notice the texture of it. You might start to think of it as a connection to the earth that you could inhale up nutrients, support, anything you need. And with the exhale, that you could release anything that you don't need, anything that you want the earth to hold in this moment. So inhaling up anything you need from the earth, any support, any nourishment. And exhaling anything that you don't need, anything you'd like the earth to hold. Knowing that there's never any pressure to let go of everything or release everything into the earth. Sometimes our bodies or our systems are holding something, and that's because they're supporting us. So that's actually the body's intelligence. That's totally fine. But if there is anything that wants to be released, even just for this moment, you can release that with the exhale and then the inhale, continuing to take in whatever support or nourishment you want from the earth in this moment. As you continue to practice with this taproot or grounding cord, noticing if the experience of that or the image of that changes or evolves as you're practicing with it. I get curious about is as you're breathing up and down the grounding cord or taproot, if there's any places in the body that might settle or might soften a little bit more. The answer is no. If the body is holding because that's what's taking care of you right now, can you also honor that? If that taproot or grounding cord is still feeling supportive, you can continue with that practice. You might start to feel a little bit more into all of the different places that are in contact with the ground. And that might mean starting to find some swaying motion or some rocking motion. So if you're lying on the ground, you might rock or roll gently from side to side. If you're seated or standing, you might start to shift the weight back and forth gently. As you're moving, noticing the different places that come in contact with ground, the different places where you can access support as you shift. Orienting to that sense of touch, to those points of contact. Noticing if your body would like to move quickly or slowly here. You could experiment with speed. You could experiment with where in the body the rocking is being initiated or the sway is being initiated. You might get curious about if you could find a rock or a sway where you feel a natural, spontaneous settling in your body, maybe a deeper, spontaneous breath, or a little bit of a sense of softening. So as I continue to offer practices, if there's any particular practice that you're really enjoying or that's really supporting you right now, you're always welcome to stay with that. I'm going to offer bringing hands to opposite arms and starting to squeeze and move up and down the lower arms, the upper arms, up to the shoulders and back down. And this is something again that you can do while you're seated on the floor or standing, playing with the rhythm of this. So getting curious about what rhythm would feel supportive, orienting to the touch of the hands on the body. Noticing what happens with the breath. Noticing any sensations that come up in the physical body. Anything that comes up in the energy body. Anything that comes up in the mind. You could continue with this rhythmic squeezing up and down the arms if that's feeling supportive. This is a way of orienting to the present moment, to our embodied experience through touch. You could also experiment with orienting through sound or through vision. So that might look like listening to the sounds in the space that you're in, maybe seeing if you can notice the sounds closest into you, the sounds at kind of a middle distance, the sounds as far out as you can hear. Really letting your sense of hearing get curious, or that might mean looking around the space that you're in. So vision is often a primary way that people orient to the present moment, orient to the space that they're in. So even if you're in a space where you spent a lot of time, maybe you think you know it really well, could you let your eyes get curious? Maybe checking out if there are any particular patterns of light and shadow, any colors that draw your attention, any textures that your eyes like looking at. Just letting your eyes move around if you're orienting through sight. Noticing what happens in the body, what happens with your breath as you do that. And if there's anything that your eyes particularly like looking at, or that you feel a sense of settling or a deeper spontaneous breath move through, feeling free to hang out with that. There's anywhere that your eyes find to hang out with that feels enjoyable, feeling free to take a moment to marinate in that. And noticing what that feels like in the body. That might feel like yawning. Might feel like tingling or settling. Might feel a particular temperature. Saying hello to what's showing up in the body in this moment. Noticing how the breath is showing up. Tuning into that rhythm of inhale and exhale in and out of the body. Seeing if you can tune into that natural rhythm of the breath. So without needing the breath to show up any differently than it is in this moment. Feeling the inhale expansive, feeling the exhale grounding and coalescing. So we're going to move into awareness of the breath and rhythmic repetitive movement here. Again, this is something that you could do on the ground, from a seat, standing up. I'm going to stand up just so I have access to a little bit more range of movement. So tuning into the rhythm of your breath, how that's naturally showing up in this moment. Tuning into that expansion and that grounding. And then starting to play with making movements that match that expansion and that grounding, that folding. So with the inhale, you might reach the arms out wide. You could think about the heart shining forward. You might find even a little bit of that cow back motion with the exhale, folding, rounding, maybe bending the knees if you're standing. So moving with the rhythm of your breath. And rather than the movement leading the breath, let the breath lead the movement. Getting curious about what you can notice. And getting curious about how the movement might want to evolve. Whatever shows up, whatever new dimension or exploration of movement, what would it look like to turn towards it with compassion, with curiosity? Each breath, a new opportunity to notice what's happening in the body now. To notice what movement might support your body, your exploration. I sometimes think about playing with these movement patterns as like a jellyfish. So thinking about finding that spontaneous, organic opening and coalescing. Whatever that looks like or feels like in your body right now. As you're playing here, even as your focus is on the breath and on this rhythmic repetitive movement, can you also feel the places where you're in contact with the ground? Can you also feel the places where you're supported in relationship with earth? If exploring this rhythmic movement with the breath is still feeling interesting for you, you could continue that. Or if that feels complete for you, you might find a little bit more stillness, maybe a gentle sway from side to side. Noticing what's coming up in the body now. What's happening with the breath? You might take a moment to look around the space you're in again. Notice if the quality of your attention or the quality of your looking is different. If you notice different things. If the breath feels different. And then we're going to shift into some practices of self-compassion and self-care. So you could find a seat if you're standing, or you could do this from standing if that's serving your needs right now. Taking a moment to say hello to the body as you settle in. And finding a place of contact. So maybe a place, a part of the body that isn't really like loaded, isn't particularly activating for you. So I'm taking one of my hands in my other hand, for example. You could take a hand to the knee or the hands to a foot. You could close your eyes, or you might allow your eyes to look at this part of the body that you're making contact with. Say hello to it through your touch or through vision. And think about this part of the body and all of the work that it's done for you. Maybe everything that it's done and supported you in today or this week or even in your life. You feel a sense of warmth towards this part of the body, a sense of gratitude, or a sense of curiosity about what a sense of warmth or gratitude towards this part of the body might be like. You could also focus on the physical sensation of touch, of contact. There might be warmth where you're making contact. There might be tingling or a sense of energy. You thank this part of the body for showing up for you, for supporting you. And then without thinking too much about it, letting go of that contact and making contact with some other part of the body. So it doesn't need to be a part of the body that you have a particular narrative around or that you think a lot about. Just going with the first place that the hand or hands move towards. You could look at this part of the body, if you can make visual contact with it. Think about all of the work, all of the support that this part of the body does for you. You feel into the physical and energetic sensations of contact, maybe warmth, maybe tingling. What would it be like to feel a sense of gratitude for this part of the body? What would it be like to feel a sense of tenderness towards this part of the body? Would that change the quality of touch or contact that you're making with it? or how you're looking at it. In the last moment with that part of the body. And then one more time, finding somewhere to make contact. You might make contact over the heart or over the heart and belly or somewhere else if that's where your instinct is. If you're making contact with a particular place in the body that you want to focus your energy and intention on, you might thank that part of the body for showing up for you, for everything it does to support you. I'm finding with my hand over my heart and hand over my belly that I want to take a moment to thank my body as a whole, to think about the ways that my body supports me, shows up for me. Feeling into those places of contact. Noticing if there's anywhere, any sensation of settling, of softening. Maybe a deeper, spontaneous breath. Or a sense of tingling or energy or temperature. In the last moment, to be in contact with the body and thank the body. And also to check in with what the body needs. So that might be what the body needs in this very moment. Does the body want to do another kind of movement or stretch? That might be what the body wants this evening or this morning or today. That might be about nurturing the body with water or with food or with something soft to snuggle into. Just taking a moment say hello to the body and to ask, what do you need? How can I support you? Whatever information or answer comes or doesn't come, knowing that that's the right information or answer or experience for your body in this particular moment. Thank you all so much. I know that we're near the end of our time. I'm happy to open it up if anyone has any questions or wants to share anything about your experience, and no pressure. You know, also that sometimes when we check in and feel into our bodies, we can get into an internal space and want to stay there, particularly maybe for those of us who might be on the Pacific or East Coast time zones where it's getting into evening time.
Amazing. Thank you so much for that, sharing your practice with us and really bringing the energy into a really amazing space. It doesn't seem like we have any comments right now. What I am going to do is, as we wrap up, I'm going to come back to you for one final question. So folks, thank you so much for joining us here on the Yoga Channel. I know it's always hard coming out of the practice and then having to go back into a more formal state. If you would like to keep joining us here on the Yoga Channel, there is so much good happening. So please stay tuned for our next sessions. We do have another one coming up on embodying our inner moon, moving with our menstrual cycle. So please do check that one out. In between, there's a lovely coffee break where you can connect, as well as a Facebook group for the embodiment conference and a Facebook group for the yoga channel. So this video and this practice will be up as well as a way to connect and have a replay for 48 hours. This is going to be one of my final calls here at the conference, reminding you to make sure you do buy the library while it's still 50% off. You really won't want to miss it. All these incredible practices are going to be at your disposal at a replay. You know, I was thinking of it this way, especially with the yoga channel, it's about $149. And with that, I think about yoga classes, and you get in turn such a diverse array of practitioners that you might not get if you were showing up each and every day to a class. And there's so much love in the comments for you, RW, and that's absolutely incredible to hear. So folks, we're gonna ask RW one last question, and we ask this of all our presenters, and that is, what is your top tip for embodiment?
I'm so glad that you told me this was gonna be the question at the beginning, because I've been percolating on it in the background through our whole time together. And I think actually my top tip is something that we came back to over and over again in this practice. And that is turning towards our experiences, our sensations, our bodies with curiosity and compassion.
Love it. I think that was definitely really resonated here in this practice. And it seems like it's resonating with folks too. So folks, this is the end of our session. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you so much, RW, for an incredible and inspiring and impactful session. We all really appreciate you here.